broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And you are in the clubhouse. Welcome. It's the 1st of December. That means we have 24 shopping days until Christmas, and I'm going to avoid it as long as possible. In the clubhouse this morning, Rex Hoggard, Golf Channel senior writer, sometimes morning drive co-host, always the analyst. He'll be joining us right after we thank the sponsors who make this show possible. And by the way, you need to start making your plans for the 2013 season. The opener is the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, a great time to visit Maui, watch the top golfers in the world compete at Kapalua while the whales are breaching. It's amazing. And the Sony Open in Hawaii on Oahu at Wailea Country Club, the first full-field PGA Tour event. Get your tickets first to Hawaiian Bank, or better yet, volunteer to help at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions or the Sony Open, or both.
The Golf Club, sponsored by Poipu Bay Golf Course. 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. And by Princeville's Prince Course, magnificent by nature. Completely renovated greens, bunkers, and clubhouse. The Prince Course is offering Kama'aina Unlimited Saturday and Sunday play for just $99. Call 826-5001. Princeville's Prince Course.
Love that bass line. Okay, over the next 4 months, we're going to give away two trips for two on Hawaiian Airlines to the West Coast. Four nights in the Palace Hotel, San Francisco, a luxury collection hotel. So twice during the show, you're going to call in when you hear the jet take off, okay? Each time, we get a qualifier, and then after 9 weeks, we're going to pull a winner out of the hat. And guess what? We're going to start all over again. We're going to do it twice. But let's welcome into the clubhouse right now. We got a lot to talk about. Golf Channel senior writer, on-site PGA and LPGA Tour reporter, sometimes co-host of Morning Drive on Golf Channel, always the analyst, and former Marine. But they say that once a Marine, always a Marine. Welcome to the show, Rex Hoggard.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You're at the final PGA Tour Q School. First of all, tell me what you think of it being the final Q School for the PGA Tour.
You know what? As someone who's covered it for a lot of years, I have mixed feelings. I mean, this is the event where you get the best stories. I mean, you come here and you just wait to see what unfolds. And I mean, this year is no different. We have a 17-year-old trying to earn a PGA Tour card. You have veterans. You have everyone in between. Robert Carlson, Camilo Villegas, the established players trying to get back out on tour. I mean, for someone who tells stories and carries a notebook for a living, it's Valhalla. If you're a player, I certainly understand. I'm actually staying with a player this week, and it's funny to watch our different perspectives. And each day he has gotten darker and darker and more tired and a little bit more grumpy, and each day I seem to perk up a little bit. So it's a tale of two worlds. But I'll be sad to see it go,
yes,
to answer your question. It's been a great institution. That said, I really think the new system is going to be better at identifying the best players, and that's really what it's about.
Okay, but speaking of storylines, this one, Min Wee Kim, I mean, just some of the quotes on Twitter, and you can follow Rex at Rex Hoggard GC, that's for Golf Channel. What's this? The harder I work now, the more beautiful my spouse will be later? Is that a quote from him?
That's not a quote from him. That is actually a Korean saying that is his favorite quote that he wrote down on his media profile. And I spoke with his manager, who's kind of also his interpreter, and he said it wasn't an exact word-for-word quote. He goes, I couldn't figure out how to do it. And he goes, but it's as close as we could get. And is that not incredible? That's the coolest statement I've ever heard. I was like, wow. I must have worked so hard when I was young.
Now, how old is Min Wee Kim?
He's 20 years old, and he turned pro actually when he was 18, and he's actually fresh off his first professional victory a few weeks ago in October on the Korean Tour, and he has really turned a lot of heads. Even earlier this week, I had a lot of industry insiders come up to me before play even got underway and said to watch this kid. He's got a very good swing. He's got a very high golf IQ, and I think we've seen that through three rounds. He had a great comment to me yesterday talking about how he adjusts to the grind of Q school. I mean, you don't play six-round events. This is the only time you do it. And he said he looked at the first two rounds as practice rounds. And now he says it's kind of now we're getting underway in the normal tournament. It was really an enlightening thing for a 20-year-old to say, and it's an interesting way to look at this.
Yeah, now he shot the 68-63 in his practice round, quote-unquote, right? 67 yesterday. Is this the Kim who qualified for the Japan PGA or the Japan Tour and also for the PGA Q School?
He did. Yes, it is. He was qualified to go to final stage of Japan Q School this week, and obviously it was conflicting with the PGA Tour Q School. It was a pretty easy decision, from what his manager told me, that the end goal is always to play on the PGA Tour, and it doesn't look like this is going to happen, but let's say he struggles over the next 3 days and earns a Web.com Tour card. He made it clear he's still coming over here to play. He wants to play in the United States. This is where he wants to be, and one way or the other, he'll be playing in the U.S. next year.
Oh, it seems like everybody wants to be on the PGA Tour. Of course, the purses are huge, and the travel is so much less taxing, isn't it?
Well, it really is. I mean, it's when you compare it to some of the other tours, specifically the European Tour, I know that's a great experience, and you're starting to see more American players go do that. But if you like staying at home, I mean, if you like traveling within the, you know, the lower 48, as it were, it's a much better tour. And the money, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the guys are treated like gold out here.
Exactly. Now, there's a 17-year-old in the mix here. Is it Siwoo Kim?
Siwoo Kim, correct.
And he's 17, and he thinks he wants to be on the PGA. Does he have a game?
Well, he's one stroke out of the top 25. So through three rounds, he's been pretty impressive. And, you know, this is a kid that has played his way through the three previous stages. It was pre-qualifying, first stage, second stage. So he's already proven himself just to get here, and it's pretty impressive. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out because the tour has a rule. You cannot become a member until you're 18 years old. And Ken turns 18 on June 28th, which means basically he will give away two-thirds, if not more, of the season as a non-member. He will not be able to play on his number, which means he'll have to wait, hopefully get sponsor exemptions, which there are few and far between next year, or Monday qualify. When he does turn 18 and gets his tour card, he will only have four or five, maybe six starts tops to earn his tour card and to qualify for the playoffs next year. And that is going to be a tough call.
Well, I was watching Golf Channel's Morning Drive, and it was great to see you on Morning Drive. It always is. You were talking about how he could go on a medical exemption or something of that nature.
They have what's called a hardship exemption.
Hardship.
Now, of course, they have medical exemptions, but this would be a little bit different case. And you know, I ran this by a tour official yesterday just to make sure it wasn't completely out of bounds. And he didn't shoot it down. And the idea would be that, look, you're asking a rookie who's coming over to the United States for the first time to basically do this on a wing of prayer, on sponsor exemptions, Monday qualifying, and then four, maybe five, six starts on the tail end. And that's just not doable. I mean, he could do it, but it would be pretty amazing. So I think you could ask for a hardship exemption, basically not play at all next year, and pick up again when the tour begins the 13-14 season.
Oh.
You'd have much better opportunities that way.
Absolutely. A good idea. And they didn't shoot it down. Interesting. Eric Compton, he's on his third heart transplant. How's he doing? He seems to be doing quite well.
You know, it's funny. I talked to him 2 days ago, and I'm a big fan of Eric Compton. I love his outlook for a lot of different reasons, but I wanted to talk to him specifically about how physically demanding this week was for obvious reasons, and he kind of completely dismissed it. I mean, he's really in the best shape of his life, and when you look at him and you hear him talk, and he said it's amazing how much more energy he has this year to the three previous trips to school. And he said part of that is, you know, I kind of fully recovered finally from my second heart transplant, which was 3 or 4 years ago. Because in the other half is I'm a little bit older. I know now that when you get here, you don't pound balls in between rounds and you don't wear yourself out at the golf course. You really have to pace yourself. So it's a combination of things. And it's good to see him inside the top 25 right now.
Yeah, it is. And this is to a lot of people the shocker. Camilo Villegas, he's back. He's in Q. What? You know, I mean, what happened to his game?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. You're talking about a guy that just a couple of years ago won a playoff event, and he's back at Q School, and he's really struggled over the last 2 years. I mean, it's really been one of those sort of car crashes to watch, if you want to be honest, mm-hmm. on tour, but you can't turn away. It's been the driver. If you look at his stats, his driving has dropped off dramatically from, say, 2010, 2009, when he was winning on the PGA Tour, to the last 2 years when he simply couldn't find a fairway.
And he's doing very nicely. It's under pressure. You know, the 70, 67, 66, when you've got to perform, you find a third or fourth gear and kick it in. It seems to be what he's doing now, what they've all got to do. Who is there are a lot of guys in this field, and my question to you next is, who surprises you the most that's doing the worst?
Doing the worst. Well, you can pick some guys. DJ Trahan WD'd after a couple of rounds. I mean, yeah. I would expect it more from him. I mean, obviously he has partial status next year, but that's not going to guarantee a whole lot next year. I mean, it's going to be tight for a lot of guys. So I was really surprised that he didn't come out and play a little bit better. And I know I'm flipping this question on you, and I apologize, but maybe the guy that's surprising me because he's playing well is Robert Carlson. Because this is a guy who, admittedly, and I hate even bringing this word up, he has suffered from the yips, and the driver yips, this year. I mean, he's a guy who barely was able to finish his round at the U.S. Open, couldn't tee off at the British Open because he simply couldn't get comfortable with the ball, and he was afraid to swing the golf club.
I remember that, yes.
That is a long ways to go. I mean, it's amazing to see how he has battled his way back and is playing so well. That's 65 he shot yesterday. It was the round of the day, if not the round of the week, after Minwee Kim's 63, obviously, on the day before. But, I mean, see how far Robert Carlson has come. And this is a world-class player. 10-time winner on the European Tour, 2-time Ryder Cupper. But I am very impressed with the way he's performed so far this week.
66, 68, 65, very consistent. Okay, we're going to come back, take a real quick break. We got to talk. You said yips. I haven't had to talk about the yips in I don't know how long. You know, I had a number of people years ago talk about what to do, what's causing them, how you can overcome them. And then came the long putter, the anchored putter, and now the anchored putter proposed ban. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. We're talking with Rex Hoggard, Golf Channel, after this.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment. From window system to cooling towers across Hawaii, call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Okay, the proposed ban on anchoring the putter is official. This is not a ban on the long putter or the belly putter. You just won't be able to use those putters. You can't steady your hands by anchoring the club against your body. You have to swing that long putter, that belly putter. First of all, Rex Hoggard, Golf Channel senior writer, what do you think of this proposal?
Well, you know, I think it's a long time too late, to be quite honest with you. I certainly agree with where they're coming from. I think most people, even the guys that use it, will tell you that it does take an element out of putting, that when things get tight, that, look, being able to have it in your belly or in your chest certainly makes it a little bit easier to make those 3 and 4 footers when they count. That being said, they've let it go on for a really long time. I mean, I've spoken to guys over the last few weeks. Nick O'Hearn, who's playing this week's Q School, has used a long putter for 20 years. Paul Peterson, who is a world-class player on the PGA Tour, has been using the belly putter for 16 years. I mean, these guys, that's all they've ever known, and I think on a lot of levels, it's simply not fair.
Okay, why have they let it go on?
I think from the USGA's perspective and from a conversation that I had with Mike Davis during the Open Championship in July, it was very enlightening, and I know a lot of people are probably going to look at what's happened over the last 6-7 majors. You've had 3 players win major championships using long putters.
Uh-huh.
That had never happened before. Keegan Bradley, Webb Simpson, and Ernie Els. He dismissed that idea, and I believe him. He said what this really boils down to, young players, juniors coming into the game are being taught this is the right way to play the game now. And this is the way they're growing up, and they're figuring out that this is the best way to do it. And Mike told me, he said, look, we need to ask ourselves, 20 years from now, if 80% of the public is using one of these long putters, are we going to be comfortable with that? And clearly the answer now is no.
So he wouldn't say why he let everybody play it for the last 20 years. And then now all of a sudden, that's the part that gets me. Why? I always thought you weren't allowed to use your body to stabilize a club. That I thought that was part of the rules of golf. I'm completely wrong, I guess.
Well, I think technically, and you're not the first person that's made that argument. I mean, I've had a lot of players on the PGA Tour make the argument that they simply didn't enforce the rule that they had. And I think there's probably something to that. They let it go on for a long time. They initially let it slide when they shouldn't have. And the fact of the matter is it got to the point where when it was 1% of the PGA Tour using or the general public, I think everyone was fine with it. But now that it seems to be growing and, like I said, people are being taught this is the right way to do it from a very young age.
Yeah.
They're not okay with that.
Yeah, I'm not either. Quite frankly, I'm not either. I think that's silly. You know, I mean, if you can't do it for physical reasons, there should be an exemption maybe because, you know, your wrist is bad or your back is bad. I can understand that. But I don't understand the children starting to use that. That's just amazing. It makes no sense to me. Question I have next is, if they're going to ban it, why wait, you know, 3 years to actually make it a rule? Shouldn't it be sooner?
I think so, and I think it probably will be sooner. If you kind of read the tea leaves, what's been said and what's happened this week, and it goes back to when Mike Davis and the USGA sat down with the PGA Tour Policy Board a few weeks ago at the McGlasgow Championship at Sea Island. Davis Love III, who was on the policy board, immediately came out of that meeting, and the first thing he said is, look, if you're going to do this, fine. But make sure you do it now. Let's don't wait until 2016, because every time someone wins on the PGA Tour with one of these things over the next 3 years, God forbid they win a major.
Yeah.
The only conversation there's going to be is he won using a long putter, and nobody needs that.
Yeah.
So I think from the tour's point of view, they're probably going to be forced into it. If the USGA and RNA are going to enact this rule, you'll probably see the tour go ahead and make the move early, simply to avoid that type of publicity.
Yeah, I like that. Now, the big hue and cry has been, oh, it's going to decimate the numbers of golfers who are actually going to take up the game. It's going to ruin the growth of the game. People are going to flee from the game. Do you believe that?
I don't think so. I have a father-in-law that I gave him a long putter about 6 years ago, and it's in his bag, and he's made it perfectly clear he's not taking it out. And for my father-in-law and his foursome that plays on Friday morning, that's fine. No, none of those guys are really going to have a hard time with that. Yeah, I don't think on the amateur level it's going to be that big a deal. And at some point, when it's deemed illegal, it's not going to be part of the lexicon anymore. I mean, 5, 6, 7 years down the road, we won't even be thinking about the long putter anymore. So, no, I don't think it will have a long-term impact on the growth or
yes,
you know,
yes,
of the game.
Yes, and what I think is really important to point out is that you can always use the anchored or belly putter, and you can anchor it, and you can do whatever you want. It's your game as a recreational player. But if you're going to play in an amateur that's being put on by the USGA, if you're playing for your state championship under USGA rules, or you're playing on the professional tour, technically you can't use the anchored putter, but anybody else can.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, you start getting into questions about handicaps, and Mike Davis brought that up this week about amateurs using it even recreationally, but if you submit that score for a handicap, I understand that, and that's probably something that we're going to have to work through. I think that the problem was, and he addressed this, is, look, if you have to use this because you have a bad back and you simply can't putt with a traditional putter, you can still do it. You just can't anchor it. And I think most people understand that.
All right. Thank you very much for being on the show. Really appreciate your insight and your comments.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'll talk to you soon, Danielle.
Thanks. Aloha. We'll be back. We're going to talk with Andy Plummer. He and Mike Bennett created Stack and Tilt, and it's a controversial method of teaching. He's going to talk about that. He's got a new DVD out. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Magnificent by nature, Princeville's Prince Course on Kauai's spectacular North Shore. Renovated greens, bunkers, clubhouse, and more. They're now offering Kama'aina the chance for unlimited play for only $99 for the entire weekend. Golfers, is there a better way to spend Saturday and Sunday? Unlimited play on Kauai's Prince Course with your local ID. It's Kama'aina weekends. That's right. Play 18, 36, or more both Saturday and Sunday for only $99. Call 826-5001 for tee times.
Of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Aloha, this is Bubba Watson, and there's no better place to kick off the season than Kapalua at the PGA Tour's Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
You're invited to golf's opening drive, January 3rd to 7th, where 2012 winners tee it up like Bubba, Keegan, Ricky, Dustin, and Steve Stricker. Tickets start at just $15 online at retail locations including the Kapalua Golf Shops, the Honolulu Store, select ABC stores on Maui, and select Walmart locations, or by calling 808-665-9160.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Ah, you heard the jet going off to San Jose, Los Angeles, Seattle, San Francisco. That's Hawaiian Airlines. And over the next 4 months, we're going to give away two trips for two on Hawaiian Airlines to the West Coast, four nights in the Palace Hotel San Francisco, a luxury collection hotel. If you are the ninth caller, you qualify to be in that drawing. All right. Let me just remind you, at 9:30 Hawaii time, there's going to be a special global golf. It's going to feature Kauai golf. And if you'd like to play around at Poipu, one of the featured courses, there's an 8:30, a 9:20, a 10:40, and a 12:10. Prince Course has a 9:30, a 10:06, and a 12 o'clock. Also featured Puakea, Kauai Lagoons, the Makai course. It's going to be a great, it's hosted by Mark Rolfing. You need to check it out. Now, let's learn how to play this game. The Stack and Tilt method. Andy Plummer is joining us, one of Golf Week's top 100 teachers, co-creator of Stack and Tilt with Mike Bennett. His students include Charlie Wee and J.J. Henry and Brad Faxon. Welcome to the show, Andy Plummer.
Thank you for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely. All right. I was watching Charlie Rose. Love to be Charlie Rose. if I could only be just like Charlie Rose. And I was looking at your DVD, the Stack and Tilt 2.0. Is that the name of it?
That is.
Yeah, Stack and Tilt 2.0. And I'm following along. You have different aids. You have, this is, you know, for the people who have learned this game, you say that the rules that people have been taught aren't quite correct. The rules of learning the game, the premise, you know, that you got to go back to the basics, the posture, the ball position, the grip, the squaring it in, alignment, stance. You say those, you've reorganized. Can you explain, please?
I can, Danielle. The first thing I would say is that in my mind, I think that golf, the game itself, is fundamentally misunderstood. And by that, and the swing itself is also misunderstood. What I mean by that is the first, the rules that govern the game, the ball flight laws, haven't been described uniformly to masses of golfers when they go to take their lessons. And I think that's created quite a bit of confusion in the market for golf lessons and for golf coaches. And also, Danielle, the basic movements that define the swing itself haven't been properly measured and defined. And I think those things together have made the barrier of entry to playing golf much more difficult.
Wait, let me go back to the grip. And you say, like, for instance, the grip is it's a variable. Everybody has a different grip.
Right. You can't, Danielle, you can't measure a good golfer by their grip. You have guys like Paul Azinger and Zach Johnson. They have their hand turned 90 degrees in their left hand. And then you might have a guy like Greg Norman hitting right beside them that have their hand turned 0 degrees.
And so, then there's the interlock, the Varden, the baseball,
right?
All those different grips. So that's not
exactly
a standard. Alignment, some aim right. You were mentioning that Snead and Palmer kind of have an aim to the right. And
John Cook, right.
And Nicholas Trevino couples that kind of aim left, so that you can't follow some professional and watch and get something, a real baseline from them. Club face, Steve Elkington, he aims his club face to the right, Paul to the left. So all of the ball position, some guys are forward, some have it in the back, you know.
You got it.
All right. So those things, we can't go, these aren't the basics. You're talking about the swing hitting the ground has to be, you have to hit the ground, the impact, at the same place all the time?
I am, Danielle. It's the first major thing that differentiates golfers of different skill level that's measurable would be the ability to swing and hit the ground in the same spot every time. You turn the golfer, the tournament on Sunday, and the guys on tour are always hitting the ball. I mean, they're not mysteriously topping the ball or batting the ball. They always hit the ball solid. And you can categorize with a very strong correlation different handicap levels just by control of that variable. And just to your point about the grip, Danielle, and the alignment and the club face, what golf really needs is a system to explain how all those variables work, the grip, stance, posture, and alignment. But, see, those are presented as fundamental or basic. And what happens to the golf student when they come to take their lesson is they often learn grip, stance, posture, the variables first. They don't learn the true basics or the true cornerstone. And, again, that's what I think makes the barrier of entry to the game too slow, too high, and it discourages people from playing.
So when you talk about the basics, where my swing hits the ground, for instance, where I make a divot,
right,
and
where the bottom of it is, and the poorest players, Danielle, they bought the bottom of their swing hits the ground further back on the ground, and with a wider variation. The expert player hits the ball with a very narrow dispersion, and the bottom of the a swing is much more forward. As a group than the poor player.
So if you, like, when I was watching the video, when there was a line, I think Mike Bennett kept hitting that, his divot was exactly the same place. It was amazing. 17 swings and his divot was not the exact, he would move over just a little bit. Really good for the superintendent to take care of that little swath of ground, right?
He makes it easy like that. It's fun to watch him do that as well on a daily basis. I think that illusion of painting a line on the ground and swinging and trying to hit that line reveals the first level of expertise of golfers.
Okay, and so how do I accomplish that? How do I make
You ask the magic question, because that would be the first thing a golfer needs to learn to master, is the most basic fundamental. And there's a couple of things involved, Danielle. The first is where the weight is. It has an impact on where the club hits the ground. That being, if all the weight's on the back foot, the club would tend to hit the ground further back on the ground. And if all the weight is on the front foot, it would be easier to hit forward on the ground. Now, if you understand, Danielle, that most people hit too far back, then you can start to make some sort of conclusion that their weight is could be too far back. And that's really where the DVD starts.
Okay, because I've always been taught to put my weight on my back foot when I go into the swing. So you're telling
right.
me... Right. Okay.
I'm telling you I'm telling you that you could do that, but it's a very time... It's a very time-oriented type of move that can be executed by extremely sensitive golfers, but poor players, it makes the process much, much more difficult.
Now, your DVD, Stack and Tilt 2.0... Is this for the better player, or is it for somebody who's just starting out, or who's kind of good?
Right, I'm glad you asked that too, because it's really for everyone. First, it starts out really simple in identifying the fundamentals and teaching a person how to master what we see as what really are the fundamentals. But it walks you through the basic description of the movements of the swing, and it ultimately becomes a very detailed system that an expert player could watch and learn just with one very important detail they may be missing.
Okay, so that if I want to give this to a golfer who's got, you know, just starting or who's got a 30 handicap, this would be a good DVD for Christmas for them to consider helping that person get a little better grasp on their game and maybe improve their score, or certainly their accuracy, because you talk also about hitting a reasonable distance to score well. So, you know, a lot of us just hope to hit the ball a reasonable distance. Are you saying that with your philosophy and some of the things that you tell us to do, like maybe shifting our weight more to the front foot, that we could actually get more distance?
Well, most people could, because they would hit the ball much more solidly. I think that there's a prevailing wisdom in the market that shifting the weight back creates potential power.
Yes.
I disagree with that. I would just reject that. I think that it unnecessarily complicates the game, and I think that that's where golf instruction has really lost its way. I think, frankly, the first thing that the average player or the beginning player can do to hit the ball further is to hit it well, or to hit it solidly. And that begins with a simple model that demonstrates the first fundamental. Then, Danielle, I would also tell you that the way that the swing is described, the whole concept of coiling and the spring is a really flawed analogy that describes the swing. The swing is acts much more like a catapult that throws the ball, as opposed to like a horizontally coiling spring. So really what it is the golfer uses the ground to create, to push off of, to help to speed the club up.
Huh.
So you can create much more power by using the ground than you can moving back and forth.
So, you know, in baseball, when you wind up and you throw it, you always go back and forward on the back leg, on the back foot.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, too, because that's not really necessarily true, too. I hear that a lot. The baseball pitcher, I think you might be referring to,
uh-huh.
he does wind up, but that wind up could be seen as a deception move to the batter. Really, the relief pitcher who pitches from the stretch, Danielle, he's pre-turned towards the target 90 degrees, and he just steps forward towards the hole, okay, or towards the batter. And he steps forward towards the batter and extends his spine like a pole vaulter going over a bar to thrust the ball. He doesn't run in from center field with his shoulders directly facing home plate and try to throw the ball. He's pre-turned, and he steps forward and extends his body to not even sure that that's a completely valid comparison to playing golf, but I think that pretext is used to convince golfers they're supposed to swing a golf club by shifting their weight.
Yeah, but you see, when you explain it that way, I could feel it. I can feel it in my body. For the golfer who's not really comfortable with their game yet, you know, sometimes you need to use a different athletic move to make it become real for the person listening. And what you just did for me is you made that real. I can feel how I could do it with a swing by bringing my weight more forward rather than back, which has been
right.
My focus all this time, is having my, you know, being back and then come forward. But I can see now, I can feel, I should say, I can't see it, but I can feel it in my body as I try to, you know, go through the motions in my mind and make my body react to that. I can understand what you're saying. It makes a lot more sense. That I like that. Also in your, I think I was watching the portion of the DVD that's available. It's Stack and Tilt 2.0. We're talking with Andy Plummer, a co-creator with his buddy Mike Bennett. You guys are great together, by the way. And it was interesting, J.J. Henry, one of your students, says there's a lot of misconceptions about Stack and Tilt, that you really are making it quite simple, and that people don't have to necessarily follow everything you say, but you point out that you can take something, maybe you're ready for one part of your teaching, and incorporate that. Maybe you're not ready for all of it. Can you explain that?
I can, Danielle. This is that's the beauty of having a system, is that not everyone needs it all. Frankly, no one needs it all. It would be like going to the pharmacist and taking all the pills. No one, right? No one needs it all. But everyone can benefit from a little bit of it. And I think that's what JJ is trying to point out, is that if you see how this is laid out, the systematic nature of it, it becomes very simple. And the expert player, as well as the beginner, can look at this and take just one part of it that'll help them to progress. And then as they move along through the game of golf, they may see the need for another part of it. That's what golf really needs. Is a system or a set of workable progression to walk through the game. And, you know, frankly, from my mind, I don't think that's out there. And I think that most of the tips, and there's not really any systematic way to do that I see in most forms of golf instruction.
We're going to take a break quick. Andy Plummer, creator of Stack and Tilt, and I want to keep Mike Bennett in the picture as well. Of course, you guys work as a team, and
right.
We're going to take a quick break and come back to, you know, Stack and Tilt. It's a strange name, and I want to find out how you got that name. And we'll be back
okay.
Right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. Congratulations, LD of Waipahu. You are our qualifier for our trip for two to San Francisco, four nights at the Palace San Francisco, a luxury collection hotel. We're going to get another qualifier later in the show. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof,
They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
The big hitters of the PGA Tour hit Wailea for the Sony Open, January 7th through 13th. Come kick off the 2013 Tour with Zach Johnson, Webb Simpson, Bubba Watson, Jim Furyk, and Matt Kuchar. Big names, big stakes, big action. Buy tickets at friendsofhawaii.org or at any First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. Free parking at Hanukai and Kahala Community Parks. Visit friendsofhawaii.org. Friendsofhawaii.org.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back into the clubhouse. We're talking this morning with Andy Plummer, and he and Mike Bennett came up with something that's called Stack and Tilt, and they have a DVD out now, Stack and Tilt 2.0, just in time for Christmas. And, you know, I was Stack and Tilt. Do I stack up my spine and tilt it? I couldn't figure out where the name came from. How did you come up with that name? Why Stack and Tilt?
That's a good question. I've been asked that before, Danielle. The name really, it comes, Charlie Weese, the person who really coined the name, and it rose out of Golf Digest's desire to have the title for an article they wrote concerning our swing theory. And what it really connotates, Danielle, is a three-dimensional description of the swing that golf instruction has been lacking. And what I mean by that is every sport that people play, the golfers or the player uses their body to leverage themselves to create power. You know, like the volleyball player going to spike the ball over the net, they extend their spine. The pole vaulter, you know, arching their back over the bar. The basketball player gets jumping off the ground to dunk the ball, extends his spine to dunk the ball. And see, these motions aren't really described in the conventional description of the swing. That extension is not described. It's too often portrayed as just a turn back and turn through. So the name comes from how the body, how the spine has to tilt to stay stacked or to stay still. So there's a three-dimensional description, Danielle, of how to tilt the spine to keep its center stable. And I think that that's the simplest way to explain it.
Okay. Now, it gets complicated there, you know, for the beginner to start worrying about stacking all that spine stuff.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's a lot to think about. We're just trying to hit the ball.
Right?
So that's
why you don't want to move. Which is why you don't want to move back and forth, right?
Yeah. So the whole thing there is that's something that you don't necessarily have to work on. Don't be afraid.
Well, Danielle, it's something that most people, good golfers, do naturally,
and poor
players don't. That's the point. And by explaining the basic, these concepts basically, you can make these concepts very simple. They're actually elementary. To do. And the problem is that they are not traditionally explained. And it's left to the golfer to learn them just by mimicking someone good. And we make the point that, you know, all you have to do is to watch any person, like an Olympic diver, when they dive off the diving board. You've seen how they arch their back.
Oh, yes.
Right? They have to extend their back to flip.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I've tried to emulate that a lot, you know. Right. Just copy
that one. How about that gymnast, right, doing all those flips, right, to leverage themselves? Mm-hmm. Those are the real motions that make up that define a golf swing as well, and they're not traditionally described, and because of that, they're hard to articulate to you know, someone like yourself. However, if you show the person the basic movement, it's very easy for them to replicate, and it needs to be, because golf needs to be made a simple game in the beginning. So I think that the real beauty of stack and tilt is that it really truly defines the basic movements of the swing. It makes them accessible to people like yourself who don't have all the time to practice but want to get better.
Yes,
and it establishes a progression to work towards, and you can do as little bit or as much of it as that you need or that you can handle. In other words, you can move at the rate that you see fit.
I like that. I I'm speaking not just for myself, but for a lot of people. We work two jobs, you know, some people three. Mm-hmm. You got the family, you've got shop, you got to shop for the food, you've got to clean the house. You know,
I get it.
You know that whole thing about growing the game and there's not enough time. Well, you know,
right.
That's
important to me. Golf, you know, I'm a professional golf instructor, Danielle, and my profession, I take it seriously. It's important to me. And helping people like yourself enjoy the game of golf and helping, making them want to go practice, inspiring them to go practice, is really the most important task that I have. So I want it to be accessible. So that's really why we made this DVD, was to help people see how simple the basic movements really are and how uniformly they're done in all the sports around them, and then to see how they're applied in golf.
Well, I like the idea of being able to see it demonstrated, like the spine angle, and then
Right. Have
my body feel it in watching it, and in, as you say, incorporate as much as I can when I'm actually practicing or playing the game. So many of us don't have time to even practice. We just go out because we want to go for a walk and hit a ball, because
right.
It's beautiful out there, right? Now, there are people who, you know, say, for instance, that this is great for irons, but not necessarily for drivers. What do you say to them?
They really just don't know what we teach.
Okay.
I just think that comes from not thoroughly knowing the subject well enough and being asked a question that they're not, you know, prepared to answer.
Right. What I liked about the explanation that Mike Bennett gave, it says you come down on the plane. There's a downward motion on the plane for driver and for the irons. It's just how steep. You're not going to come down steep on the driver. You're going to come down steep on the irons, but not on the driver. So it absolutely works, regardless of what club you're using. And as you said, it's just not. It's anecdotal from all the different people trying to describe something and not actually getting to know your work and actually looking
right.
at a DVD. Or, you know, I think this is so much better than reading the book, because you do have a book out as well. If someone wants to read your book, that came out first.
That's correct.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate the time.
Daniel, thank you for your time, and thank you for your show. I listened to it on the lead-in. I really enjoyed your interview with Rex there, and I think you're doing a great job. And Mike and I appreciate you having us on your program.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We'll talk again.
Okay, have a good day.
You
Bye.
Too. Aloha. And we'll be back right after this. Remember, you might hear a jet take off for, I don't know, San Diego or San Francisco or Los Angeles or San Jose or Seattle. All those S's. Yes, it could be one of those cities that Hawaiian Airlines flies to. Boy, you know, they're around the world. Brisbane is the next one. It's fantastic. Or is it Brisbane? Yeah, potato, yeah, okay. We'll be back right after this. Dave Andrews is coming up, and we're going to look at the LPGA Q School, and how is the Pops and Sunshine movie coming along? We've been talking with Dave for years. First the book, then the screenplay. The movie is in works. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Magnificent by nature, Princeville's Prince Course on Kauai's spectacular North Shore. Renovated greens, bunkers, clubhouse, and more. They're now offering Kama'aina the chance for unlimited play for only $99 for the entire weekend. Golfers, is there a better way to spend Saturday and Sunday? Unlimited play on Kauai's Prince Course with your local ID. It's Kama'aina weekends. That's right. Play 18, 36, or more, both Saturday and Sunday for only $99. Call 826-5001 for tee times.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Aloha, this is Zach Johnson. There's no better place to kick off the PGA Tour season than at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
You're invited to golf's opening drive, January 3rd to 7th, where 2012 winners tee it up like Zach, Bubba, Ricky, Dustin, and Steve Stricker. Tickets start at just $15 online at retail locations including the Kapalua Golf Shops, the Honolulu Store, select ABC stores on Maui, and select Walmart locations, or by calling 808-665-9160.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
P.S. If you'd like to get the Stack and Tilt 2.0, go to stackandtilt.com. Really simple. No special spelling. I'll do it for you anyway. S-T-A-C-K and A-N-D, tilt, T-I-L-T.com. All right, you got it now. All right, we're going to the LPGA Q School. Moira Jutanagarn has just gotten her first birdie of the day. She's 13 under for the week. It's the LPGA Q School. Just like the Q School on the PGA Tour, there's an interesting mix of professional players you've known for a long time and players that you're just getting to know. It's a very interesting dynamic. And Dave Andrews, he's a writer, and he's he's an avid women's golf fan. He wrote a book, Pops and Sunshine. It's about a young lady who wants desperately to be on the LPGA Tour. She'll drive hundreds and hundreds of miles to get to her destination and put up with all the things that come up in between, counting on the good nature of people to give her a place to stay, which so many people are on the LPGA Tour and the Sumitra Tour. And so it's this wonderful book about the caddy-player relationship. And he took this book and then he takes it one step further and makes a screenplay. It's because he has a dream of not only his book becoming a movie, but doing something that will feature the LPGA and the struggle that these young women go through trying to get on the LPGA Tour. And so joining us right now, Dave Andrews at the LPGA Q School. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Danielle. Nice to talk with you.
It's good to talk with you. So where are you?
I'm sitting next to the 18th green on the Champions Course here at LPGA International in Daytona Beach, Florida. And I'm watching the groups finish up. The lead group still has six holes to play. And as you mentioned in the lead-in, Moira Jutanagarn, the 18-year-old sensation from Thailand, has a six-stroke lead. And she's almost guaranteed to earn her LPGA card after tomorrow's fifth and final round. They'll take the top 20 finishers from out of the 121 players playing in this five-day event, and the top 20 will get their full status for 2013 on the LPGA, and that's what they all dream about.
Absolutely they do, and somebody who probably didn't think she'd be in this position is Christina Kim, one of my favorite people in the world, and she said she'd be on the show after this.
She's doing fine right now. Let me see. I'm trying to see her on the leaderboard here.
I understand. I was just bringing up live scoring as well. You can do that by going to lpga.com, and you can follow all of the scores. They have that for Q School on the LPGA Tour. Now, who are you following in particular? I know you have some predictions. We have Laura Diaz is in the mix, Christina Kim, yeah, of course, but we also have some amateurs who are playing, Morita Angelius and Marina Stutz and Brianna Elliott, amateurs trying to become LPGA Tour players, professional golfers on the Ladies Professional Golf Tour.
There's a strong contingent from Europe. Those players you just mentioned, the amateurs are from Europe, and you have three veteran Christina Kim, Laura Diaz, and Megan Francella are all names that your avid LPGA followers would recognize. They've been on the tour for years and years. Unfortunately, they all didn't play well last year, and that's the name of the game in golf. If you don't play well, you have to go back to Q school. And that's what they're, Christina and Laura Diaz and Megan Francella are trying to earn back their full playing status for next year. And it's a grind. I'm telling you, that's what I based my book and the screenplay about. And I've come to know exactly what these great young women golfers go through to try to reach their dream. And even when you reach your dream, as in Christina Kim's case, you know, it can be fleeting. You might have to go back several years later to try to keep that dream alive.
Exactly. Now, one of the players that you followed, and in fact you caddied for, I believe, at last year's Q School, Hannah June. How's she doing?
I just left Hannah on the, she's playing on the Legends course right now. She has about four holes to play. Unfortunately, she's not playing well this week. She's about eight over par right now total for the 4 days. And she will maintain some playing status on the LPGA. She earned her rookie card here last year at Q School. She finished 15th. She's only 20 years old, so she still has a bright future ahead of her. But this year on the LPGA, she only made four cuts out of 16 events that she played in. So she didn't make enough money to finish in the top 100 on the money list. And that's the key number. Anybody above 100 has to go back and earn full status on the here at Q School.
Yeah, so anybody
will have some status for next. She has some status. She'll probably get into six or seven events. And if she plays well, she can, in the reshuffle, she can move up and play in all the events. So she's still going at it. She'll be fine.
Stephanie Kono from Hawaii, she's also back at Q School, 70, 78, 77, 77, and she's tied for 105. Mel Reed, we all got to know her during the Solheim Cup, a great player. She's tied for 82nd. Looks like she may not make the cut, 79, 76, 71, 71. Tell us, what are the conditions like?
Well, the conditions haven't been that bad this week. The first day was miserable. It was cold and windy, and the scores were pretty high on the first day. But it settled down, and it warmed up, and it's been breezy, as it always is here in Daytona Beach. But today's a fine day for golf. It's a light breeze and partly cloudy and about 70 degrees, so they can't blame the conditions this for the last couple of rounds, at least, on their scores.
It must be... I don't know, scary is not the right word, but to see the numbers of young women when you arrive and knowing that you're competing with everybody who has the exact same desire and skill, and, you know, your nerves must be, like, just fried.
It's very intimidating, especially for the ones that it's their first time here. They say, I've heard from players, caddies, people that follow the game closely, this is the most nerve-wracking event any professional woman golfer will ever play in her life, even more nerve-wracking than a U.S. Open or the Tour Championship or any event they'll play, because it determines your career or your future for the next 12 months at least. I mean, they desperately want to finish in the top 20 so that they know they'll be playing all next year on the LPGA, trying to keep their cards and play well and make a long career out of professional golf. But I've seen so many tears of disappointment after the fifth round here. Girls have missed by one shot after five rounds of getting their card, and your heart goes out to them. And then you see the laughter and the smiles of joy, the ones that surprised themselves probably and made the top 20. That's what Hannah did last year. She was only 19 years old last year when I caddied for her here, and she finished in the she shot a 71 the final day and finished 15th overall and earned her full card on the LPGA. It's thrilling to watch, I'm telling you. I just love it.
Yeah, and Stephanie Kono also earned her card last year. Eric Compton, who's playing, of course, Q School on the PGA Tour, he said that one of the reasons why, in addition to the fact that physically he's feeling so well, is that he's done this so many times. He knows how to pace himself. He understands the rigors, and he's not going to go out and practice a whole bunch and then go play in the LPGA case five rounds of golf, on the PGA Tour at six. But do you think that, you can't expect to do it once and make it through, that you shouldn't give up?
Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, yeah. These girls don't give up. Many of them have been here many times, and some have taken them three shots at it to get their card, and they have, and they've gone on to have great careers on the LPGA. So they're athletes, and they've got it inside of them. It's their burning ambition, and it's hard to kill that dream. And if you're a golfer, you play golf, then you know you have to be stubborn, and you have to want it. And these girls want it as badly as anybody, and they just, you know, they give it all. That's what's been so inspiring to me being around it for the last 8 or 9 years, and that's of course what inspired me to write the story. And I think it'd be a great story for people, especially on film, and if the movie's produced, and we're hoping it will be. It's looking pretty good, and I think people would love the story about the fictionalization of what these girls do in real life and the dream and struggle they go through to try to make it to the top.
I'm doing it, John Stewart. I'm writing passion and underlining it. Passion. It's all about passion, and you have to be passionate, and you have to be dedicated, and you can't give up, ever. If you have a dream, you have to
marathon.
Go for it.
Marathon, not a sprint in golf. Then.
No, it's not. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. All right. Now, I've been waiting for the producer to call in before transitioning to Pops and Sunshine. And the direction that we're going with Pops and Sunshine seems to be quite exciting because, well, let's just, for the folks who have not heard of the book, Pops and Sunshine, it takes all of the things we've talked about, those frustrations, the things that happen in your family. You know, tell us a little bit about the history of the young woman, the fictional young woman that you've written about. You've created this character. Tell us in a couple of, 60 seconds, a little bit about her backstory.
Well, her story was she was 20 years old, and she was a young, great high school player, and she was injured in her last year in high school so that she was never given a scholarship to play in college. So her father decided that she might as well turn pro. And they didn't have money, her family didn't come from money, and she wanted to be a professional golfer, so they qualified for the Symetra Tour, which is the future, it was called the Futures Tour back when I wrote the story, but it's now the Symetra Tour. And she was all set to start the tour, and unfortunately her father died suddenly of a tragic disease at the age of 45, and so she was left out on her own, but she continued her dream and went out with no money, scraping for money, and went to tour after event, and she... coming to the final event of the season, she played well enough that if she won the last event of the year, she would earn her status on the LPGA. In real life, that's one of the other ways players can earn their way onto the LPGA is through the Symetra Tour. And she comes to the final event, and she needs a caddy to help her read the greens. And by chance, she happens to meet this old man who plays at the course, and ironically, or coincidentally, he had just lost his daughter in a car accident. And his wife 4 years earlier, and they were hooked up just by coincidence, and they just, the bond was created between them, a father-daughter relationship. And the story unfolds where they play out the event, and they lean on each other for support, and I won't give away the story, of course, but it's a pretty heartwarming story about human nature, and it's a pretty exciting golf story, I think, as well.
It is a good golf story. And it's great because it talks about the difficulties that you, not just the playing, not just, exercise, you've got to practice, and then you've got to get to the destination. And who's got a bunch of money? That's something I want to talk to you about. These young women who are trying to become LPGA tour players, you've got to support yourself. You've got to fly. Imagine you're just taking a vacation, quote unquote. You want to fly someplace. You got to stay someplace. You've got to eat. You've got to drive. There's so many very things you've got to do just to make your dream come true.
Yeah, they say it costs about $30,000 a year for these young players on the Symetra Tour in the traveling expenses. They get free housing some places because families put them up for nothing. I mean, if they didn't have that, they probably couldn't do it because they just couldn't afford to do it. And they try to get sponsors and family and friends to give them money to help them out, and it's a struggle for a lot of them. A lot of them, of course, come from wealthy families, so it's not a financial struggle, but for a great percentage of them, it is. They have to scrimp and save and look for every opportunity to make a buck and to save a buck and depend on the generosity of strangers and friends and family, and it's cost $30,000 or so just for 1 year on the tour, and it's you know.
$30,000. There are people in Hawaii who, you know, have to live on $30,000. It speaks a lot there. We could talk about this issue for a long time. How to afford to become an LPGA Tour player. You know, the strata on the economic spectrum that you have to live in to be able to afford to become an LPGA Tour. They say growing the game of golf. You know, making it affordable, it is not affordable to go into the profession of playing golf. Of course, you hope that the payoff is going to be big and you'll be able to pay the people back who've helped you along the way. Speaking of helping you along the way, we have just been joined by the person who's optioned the movie. You have your screenplay. You wrote the screenplay after writing the book. And by the way, you can get Pops and Sunshine, the book for somebody. It's a great book for young women to read about making your dream come true and what you've got to do, how persistent you have to be. And of course, there's also the help of strangers along the way and people, you know, who give you a hand. And don't be afraid to ask for that hand and ask for that help. How can we get the book?
Well, it's available on Kindle eBooks, Kindle, Amazon Kindle. That's probably the easiest way to get it.
Great.
It's not a hard copy. You'd have to go through me, but everybody seems to be reading off of Kindle now, so I'd recommend that. Is if you just go to Kindle, Amazon Kindle website, and type in Pops and Sunshine, it'll come up.
Is it on Facebook, Pops and Sunshine?
The book. I have a Facebook page which would direct you to Kindle, if that's what you mean.
Okay. Okay.
It's not available to read on Facebook. You'd have to read it through Kindle. You have to buy it Kindle.
Okay. Yeah, I do. So yeah, I'm sure there's a way to do that and then gift it to somebody, right? Joining us, though, and we have just about 4 minutes, 10 minutes or so, because I want to get Gary Hudson on, a native of historic Hilton Village in Newport News, Virginia. Acted with Burt Reynolds and a number of really very impressive people. Just completed 3 indie features. Deadline, he won Best Supporting Actor at the LA Film Festival. Wings of the Dragon, on location in Montreal. And the Nevesky Prospect, on location in Latvia. Wow, I'd love to be there. Welcome to the show, Gary Hudson.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So I understand you've optioned Pops and Sunshine.
Yeah, I read it. It's also a good book for young men to read. It's a good book for anybody to read. It's just a really entertaining story. So I encourage everybody to go get this book and read it. You'll really enjoy it. But yeah, I did. And Dave had written a nice script, and we worked on that together and improved it. I was doing a movie for Lifetime in Ottawa last year. And the group I was doing the movie with, I'm trying to think of the name of the movie so I can give a little plug, but I can't even think of the damn name of the movie. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, it happens all the time. Let me see.
I've done about 33 movies and about 10 for Lifetime. So
you've done Battle in Seattle. I'm doing that with Woody Harrelson. I'm just going to sit talk.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll come to you. Eye of the Killer, Kiefer Sutherland. She's Too Young, Marcia Gay Harden.
Mm-hmm.
The Mary Kay Letourneau story, Jasper
Tech. Letourneau,
yeah. Right, excuse me.
It's all right.
In John Voight, you were in with, in Jasper, Texas, Season
mm-hmm.
on the Brink. Brian Dennehy, this hasn't come, nothing, Leatherhawk, the movie that you wanted to plug, it hasn't come back to you.
Yeah, you know what, it doesn't matter, it's okay. But anyway, this guy named Robert Menzies, who is, they're doing a lot of movies in Ottawa, they read the book while I was there. Working on the, I think it's called The Perfect Boss, actually. Perfect Boss, yes, on Lifetime, coming to you next year.
Okay.
So there we go. And and then I did a movie right after that with Lou Gossett and Seymour Cassell up in Sault Ste. Marie right after that. That was a nice war picture that's coming out about a bunch of old guys whose kids get kidnapped in the Afghanistan war, and they're ex-Vietnam vets, and they know the Army's not going to do anything about it, and they go over and rescue them.
Sounds interesting.
That was a fun movie to do.
But anyway,
Robert and them read the book, and they were they loved it, and you know, that's who we're working with.
Excellent. Now,
to get this done.
Who do you want to have as the lead?
Well, there's several people we're looking at, and they're checking out. But one of the names that I'd like is Dakota Fanning would be wonderful. I think in the part. But there's several other people that were thinking about.
And who would you have as the pop?
That would be me.
Oh.
Yeah. I'd want to play that role.
Perfect for the role. He's perfect for the role, Daniel.
And you play golf.
I do play golf. Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, I do.
Excellent.
Yes, I do.
When did you start?
I started playing golf when I was about. Well, my dad played his whole life. My brother played, but I didn't start playing golf until I was in my early 30s.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, that's great. Say that because a lot of people think you've got to start as a kid nowadays.
No, you don't. You know, I played the typical football, basketball, baseball. I was a big tennis player, still am. And I kept getting, you know, invited to all these charity golf tournaments. Before they were always, they did tennis tournaments, and they started going more to golf because they could raise more money, and I kept getting invited, and I just didn't play golf. So one day I was doing a movie we were staying in a golf course, in a hotel by a golf course, and I started taking lessons and started playing all these celebrity charity events. Just got hooked.
Okay, Gary Hudson, we've just about run out of time because I have to switch over to Craig. He's over at Poi Poo. There's an NBC special on the Kauai golf courses, but I want to know, we need to talk, obviously you need to get in sooner, and we need to talk more about, when's the movie going to come out?
Pops?
Yeah.
Well,
Pops and Sunshine.
Our goal is to shoot it next spring or summer.
Oh, where?
That's our goal. We'd be doing it in Canada. We'd be shooting in Canada.
In Canada. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, I want to come and watch. I've always wanted to be on the set of a movie. I'll do anything. I'll be the gopher.
Danielle.
Yes.
How about if we have it come out in 2014, the year of the week of the U.S. Women's Open.
That would be fabulous.
Like
that would be
fabulous. That would be pretty nice, wouldn't it?
Yes, we'll have the premiere screening there. Okay?
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
Excellent. Oh, Gary Hudson, thanks for calling in. Dave Andrews, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name
Bye-bye.
Is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical, across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Thank you very much. I just want to thank Phil and Amy Mickelson, Jim and Kathy Justice, and the Greenbrier Classic for putting together the Military Appreciation Gala and the Pro-Am Charity Golf Event at TPC Sawgrass, benefiting Birdies for the Brave. You probably know that Phil Mickelson, for every birdie, money is donated to Birdies for the Brave. And this is incorporates Wounded Warrior Project, United Through Reading, Homes for the Troops, the Green Beret Foundation, Navy SEAL Foundation, Operation Homefront, all Military Warriors Support Foundation. All of these organizations are benefiting from this Birdies for the Brave wonderful event, the Pro-Am Charity Gala and golf event. Okay? So if you can, next year, make plans to be there, because you can. It's not just open to, you know, to the, hi, Mucky Mucks. It's open to anybody who wants to pay their way to help those organizations. Birdie for the Brave. Okay, Birdies for the Brave. Kauai, you guys are so smart, because you get together as a group of golf courses and you promote not just your golf courses, but visiting the island of Kauai. And as a result of that working together, there is an NBC 30-minute program on today, Global Golf. It's under the banner Global Golf. So go to your golf channel, whether it's on 30 here in Hawaii or 216 on your digital box. And at 9:30, Mark Rolfing is hosting this NBC event, Kauai Discover Golf's Ultimate Island Green. It's fantastic. And with us right now is Craig Sasada, as people are frantically calling in to qualify to win their trip to San Francisco, because, you know, you heard the jet go. And if you're the ninth caller, you qualified to be in the drawing for the trip for two to San Francisco. The number is 808-296-5467. I didn't give you the number. 808-296-5467. You could win, you know, next week as well. And Louise of Eva Beach. Louise of Eva Beach is our second qualifier. Congratulations to Eldi of Waipahu and Louise of Eva Beach. You are now in the drawing, okay? Let's get Craig Sasada, Director of Golf, Poipu Bay. Good morning.
Good morning,
Diane. I'm just curious, Craig, when did Mark Rolfing come over? Was he on Kauai putting this all together?
Yes, his company came over, and you know, they took shots from each of the properties and the resort areas to put this thing together. Sure.
Yeah. So Poipu Bay and Kauai Lagoons, the Makai Golf Club, Puakea, and the Prince Course at Princeville.
Correct.
They're all being featured. This is fantastic. You work together so well.
Yeah, it's something that. You know, we just think that the island itself, obviously, is so diverse in the kind of golf courses we have and the caliber of golf courses that we have. So, you know, a lot of people may not know that, but for a little island like this, we have a lot of championship golf courses here.
And you encourage people to come and then go explore all the different gems that
sure.
you have.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. So that's why we have this thing actually called the Kauai Golf Challenge, where you have that opportunity to do that.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Kauai Challenge?
Yeah, the Kauai Golf Challenge is the five golf courses that you did name. You have a chance to, if you buy this golf package, you have a chance to play three out of the five for a very good price. You know, it's $435 to have a chance to play three of them.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a really good deal. And, you know, for people that want to play, you know, three times at least and want to experience three different styles of golf courses, that's a great way to go.
Yeah, so we got Kauai Lagoons, Princeville, Poipu, Puakea, and the Makai course, right?
Correct.
Yeah, the Makai course is at Princeville, and so is the Prince course, but they're really different courses.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and then they're on the North Shore, and on the South Shore, we've got Poipu and Kauai Lagoons is kind of South Shore, isn't it?
Kauai Lagoons is more central, yeah. Close to the airport, but it gives you a different style of golf course too. I mean, you know, it's right next to the water. You know, they boast the longest stretch of ocean holes in the state, which is true. So, you know, it gives you a different kind of look at all of them.
And then Poipu has the ocean and more in the mountain, more Mauka.
Correct. I mean, you know, we got a lot of you got mountainside, Mount Haupu side. You can see. Then you get down to our backside. You're right along the cliff's edge of the ocean. So. You know, we give you a lot of different looks, and, you know, on the South Shore, we get less than 40 inches of rain a year, so, you know, it's really different on the size of the island.
It's more firm and fast.
Correct. Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I like that. You also, at Poipu Bay Golf Course, you have a lot of cultural sites on the course, don't you?
Well, we have some heiaus here that was, you know, obviously was here before the golf course was built. And, you know, working with the Hawaiian community, we, you know, around it and left it intact. And we do maintain it, you know, to keep it clean and, you know, most of the weeds out anyway, so.
Right. You keep it beautiful is what you do. Do you allow the Hawaiian people, if they want to go to the heiau, to go on property?
We've had some, you know, at the Grand Hyatt, we have a Hawaiian cultural, I don't know the exact term, but person there that if there is anything that is needed there by that side, she will contact us and we'll arrange something.
Oh, that's nice. I think that's really important. So this is today. We're talking about at 9:30 this morning, there's going to be a special on NBC.
Yeah, it's actually going to be aired on NBC.
Yeah, it's on NBC at 9:30. It leads into the Tiger, Tigers,
World
I haven't
Challenge.
Even mentioned.
Yeah.
I've been talking about Q School this morning. I've been talking about it's Tiger's tournament and the leaderboard. You know, you expect to scroll down and you go, whoops, there's hardly anybody there. It's the World Challenge presented by Northwestern Mutual. This is Tigers at Sherwood Country Club at Thousand Oaks, California. And Graham McDowell is in the lead with Bo Van Pelt and Jim Furyk and Keegan Bradley. And Tiger Woods is there with Ricky Fowler. Good to see Ricky playing well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, he's coming off his first win of the year. Yeah? So, I mean, hopefully it's things to come because obviously he, Keegan, Hunter Mahan, you know, all these folks are the new faces of for the American side on tour. So hopefully they can keep it up and, you know, can compete with the young guys on the European tour.
I know. The European tour, they got some really strong guys. Look at Graham McDowell. He's right there at the top.
Yeah.
There's also a European tour event underway right now. But Ian Poulter is there, not doing so well. He needs to get that match play thing going on. He does so well. Brant Snedeker, Zach Johnson. We're going to be seeing these guys real soon. They're going to coming to the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. We were just listening to Bubba Watson talk about he loves to start his year, which won't be the start of the year in 2014, but hey, who's keeping track of that? We want to just get through 2013, right?
Yeah,
yes.
I think they're going to have a good field there this year, even if, you know, Tiger maybe not show, but, you know, Ricky Fowler, Bubba Watson, you know, Keegan Bradley, with all these new faces, I think they'll get a nice crowd.
Yeah, and Zach Johnson, I think Brant Snedeker will be there. It'll be great. Can we bring up the putter?
Oh.
So, can I ask you what you think of the proposed anchoring the putter ban?
Well, actually, you know, if you hear Ted Bishop, when, you know, our president of our PGA of America, when he was interviewed, he, you know, they did do a survey, and I actually answered it, and I did answer. I don't think it should be banned. You know, for the one reason that if it can help you play better, well, why take it away? You still got to go and stroke the golf, but the putt, still make an effort at it. It's not like it's guaranteed the ball's going in the hole.
Because if it were, everybody'd be using it,
that's
right?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, if it helps a bad back, if it helps you improve a couple shots and make you want to play longer, that's great. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it. And, you know, and you brought up a good point. If everyone would be using it, and if that was so, everyone on tour would be using it.
That's right. You got to practice to actually perfect the anchoring.
Correct. It still takes time to perfect it, and mm-hmm. you know that's a fact. So.
Yeah. Frank, we're on opposite ends here, Craig. We usually agree, but on mm-hmm. this one, I always thought it was against the rules of golf somehow. At least the spirit, the essence, the whole thing about, you know, you shouldn't have that extra help, because once you do figure out how to anchor it, it does take the shakes. out of the whole thing. You know, it does make it, it's harder, I think, to putt that way without the anchoring, I think. I never thought you were allowed to, you know, have that added help of anchoring the club with your body. But other people say, hey, it's 3 points to be in control of. You know, you can be, your rib cage is shaking because you got the nerves, and that throws it. So everybody's got their, but I just think that I don't know why they let people in the first place anchor it and use it in tournaments, and they waited so long, but I think it should be banned. So you think it's going to hurt the game?
No, I mean, I don't know if it's going to hurt the game per se.
Okay.
But, you know, they were talking about sales and golf shots.
Yeah.
With the long putts. I don't think it will affect that. You know, people will adjust to it, but you may lose some players due to the fact that they can't bend over as much.
Right.
That helps them. And,
right.
You know, you may lose that person. At the same token, like you said, the yips. So-called yip. Yeah, you know, some guys may get frustrated, but I think they'll persevere through it. But, you know, I just think that the long putter or the belly putter, I mean, hey, you know, you still, again, I bring up point, you still got to go make the stroke, make the putt.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's a cinch that's going to happen where you're going to get better, because I've tried it. And I can tell for a fact it doesn't help.
It doesn't help. you know, quite frankly, I didn't have a problem with it when the Champions Tour guys were playing, or people who have, you know, issues, physical issues. That didn't bother me. It started to bother me when I saw some of the young guys on the tour, on the PGA Tour, when they started. But I really, when I started seeing kids using it, I thought, wait a minute.
But I think, you know, when they say that the juniors are trying it, I think it's just because they see it on TV.
Exactly.
So that's the first part that they go to. They haven't practiced as much with their regular, like a so-called regular putter, a conventional putter. And if they probably did, they'd probably be just as good.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And in USGA, Mike Davis said, when the instructors started advocating it as the way to putt, that's when they really went, wait a minute.
But then, you know, the good point would be, you were earlier in your show, you had the gentleman out there,
Rex.
The sack and tilt, right?
Oh, Andy Plummer,
so,
yes.
Yeah, so there's no right way or wrong way.
No, okay. You see, we could go back and, no wonder it took them so long, 30 years to decide to do something about it. There were all these people with all these different, and then I thought, okay, they've been talking about proposing the ban. What's taking them so long to write it up? Well, they had lawyers, and they had all these lawyers working on it. So, you know, that's a room full of lawyers. That word's not quite right, and then you have to figure out all the different ramifications. And Rex Hoggard brought this one up, because I mentioned, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to give up if you're not playing in competition. You can still use your anchored putter. You can still anchor it for, you know, if you're playing a friendly game, unless they don't want you to play, then it's not friendly. So then he said, what about your handicap? And I went, oh, that's right. It's UA. You can't have a handicap if you're, oh, so many things in the rules of golf to think
just
about.
Like the wedges, right? Right now.
Yeah.
You can use that to, I'm not sure in a year right now, but it's still okay.
Wow. So are we going to get to see you on television?
Well, not me.
Oh, we get to see Poi Poo Bay Golf Course.
Yeah, you'll see the golf courses. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll see Mark on there. And it's a real brief thing on the island. And because obviously we have to hit all five golf courses, so, and it's only a 30-minute show.
But it's a 30-minute show, and it is Kauai, Discover
yes.
Golf's Ultimate Island Green. Just that name alone is so cool, and it's always very cool having you on the show. Craig, I love laughing with you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. I always enjoy being on it.
Thank you. Craig Sasada, Poi Poo Bay Golf Course Director of Golf, thanks for being on the show. And I want to thank all of the people who make the golf club possible. Princeville's Prince Course, magnificent by nature, completely renovated greens and bunkers in the clubhouse. And the Prince Course is offering Kama'aina Unlimited Saturday, Sunday play for $99. You heard that right. $99 gets you unlimited play on the Prince Course. Star Protection for property threat. Risk assessment. Get your property assessed, the risk, and then protect it with Star Protection for your home, for your business, for your special event like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Speaking of that, make your plans for the 2013 season, the opening Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Great time to visit Maui, watch the top golfers in the world compete at Kapalua, and the whales breaching right offshore. It's gorgeous. The Sony Open in Hawaii on Oahu at Wailea Country Club the following week. That's the first full-field PGA Tour event. Get your tickets at First Hawaiian Bank, or better yet, volunteer to help out at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions and the Sony Open in Hawaii. And, of course, Poi Poo Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities, a unique, unforgettable golfing experience, Kauai's Poipu Bay. My name is Danielle Tucker. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.